when their grandfather recounted to the gathered family members in broken English what Jesus said to his disciples when they were descending the mountain. He said, "No tell a vision till the Son of God come." This rather rough summary of the gospel passage you just heard, "Do not tell the vision to anyone until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead," led to a new Lenten sacrifice unintentionally imposed on everyone in the family. None of them, the grandson said, could watch TV for the rest of the Lent. Grandpa made quite an impression by declaring that there would be no television until Easter. So in our readings today, we have a picture of life as a journey. In some ways, the journey is very enjoyable. In other ways, it is not as much. And there are times when the journey is marred with anxiety and dread, and we can't wait till we get through them. The stories of Abraham and Jesus represent our journey of faith, a journey from the known to the unknown. In the first reading, Abraham, or later called Abraham, was called to leave his homeland to an unknown land and mission. He did it in response to God's call. It may not have seemed wise for him to lead his immediate family from their homeland. The talk of his progeny becoming a new nation would have seemed particularly foolish, taking into account his age and the fact he had no children. But Abraham put his faith completely in God, and God worked his wonders through Abraham. In our gospel, Jesus told his disciples the necessity of undertaking a journey of faith, which would culminate in his suffering and death. The disciples saw his death as the death of hope, and Peter confronted him. But Jesus rebuked him. After some days, he took him together with James and John to the mountain where he was transfigured. His transfiguration thus became a foretaste of what we shall experience when we arrive at the end of our journey of faith in heaven. This story is meant to keep us focused on our journey of faith. Since we have an idea of what awaits us at the end of the journey, we can then become more focused on our journey with the hope that at the end, we shall also be like him who was transfigured on the mount. There may be lots of temptations and distractions on this journey, no doubt about them, but let us try to be focused. The transfiguration enlightens our vision, as it did to Peter and his fellow disciples, and gives them a glimpse of God's abiding presence with Jesus. It encourages us to be strong and courageous in our journey and increases our hope, with hope that if we work hard and remain faithful to God's call and command, we shall be among the triumphant church, with hope that there is light at the end of the tunnel. Paul, in our second reading, advises us to accept in good faith the hardship that the gospel entails. Our journey of faith would expose us to several difficulties, but the joy is that Jesus has won for us an everlasting life we shall inherit at the end of our journey. This is the type of faith that we are called to embrace. The voice of God still re-echoes in the church, inviting us to undertake the journey of faith. We are called to be different from those elements of the world that do not make God the priority. We are called to live the security of trusting in our stuff, including those things that are precious to us, and to be more devoted to the things of God, and to put our faith completely in Him. We are called to be part of a new people, a new breed, who are radically different from the world. We are called to abandon our comfort zones and those things we are attached to, and to embrace a new way of living. He wants us to detach from inferior realities, to be separated from sin and occasions of sin, that we may be attached to superior realities through a life of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. The Lord Jesus has shown us the way up the mountain. He has invited us into a new way of living in Him through living within the communion of the church. Living in that church, we are invited to go into the world, down to the plain, and invite all men and women through the waters of baptism into the new communion of love, where they can begin the process of conversion and transfiguration. Being transfigured, being renewed, and recreated, which is always a work in progress, we are all invited to join with Peter, James, and John, and cry out today, "It is good for us to be here," and grateful as we are as His disciples. And then once again, this week, we have members of our parish who have been asked to help teach us and to share their experiences about sacrificial giving. After considerable study and prayer, I support this movement in our parish. I see so many of us already grateful for the gifts God has bestowed on us and the joy in our lives because of it. So I ask you to join us, act on His blessings. Next week, the parish will begin operating according to the principles of sacrificial giving. So let me introduce today one of our sharers. He's not a fundraiser. In fact, you will recognize him. So I invite him.
Thank you, Father Roland. My name is Randy Fornoff. Christine, my wife, and I have been parishioners of CTK for a long time. Over 20 years, probably 25 years for myself. We absolutely love this parish. It's a beautiful parish, and we wouldn't be anywhere else. Thank you. And so part of that is a thank you to you for being here also. There's never been a doubt in our minds that we are in the right place that God wants us. We have heard quite a bit over the last few weeks about being a grateful disciple of Christ, about sacrificing and giving of treasure, and also giving of our time and our talents. To sum it up, it is basically about not being grateful to God, but being grateful and taking action. Let me review the four principles we've heard about in recent weeks. God must be number one in our lives. Sacrifice. We never sacrifice as much as God sacrificed for us. We encourage the use of envelopes for our weekly tithe, but credit cards and ACH do the same thing because we are making a conscious choice about what to give back to God. Tithing indicates that we give 10% of our income. It is generally accepted that our goal should be 5% to the church and 5% to other charitable organizations, including Catholic schools, HOPE, our outreach, St. Vincent de Paul, Hannah House across the street, CDA. For myself and Christine, we have a beautiful tithe that for water wells in Africa. Immaculate Heart Radio is on our heart, and we share there also. We are here today because God is very important in our lives. We realize that everything we have in our life comes from Him. And we've made a conscious decision to act on those blessings. We have always given gratefully back to our church, even before we got married 15 years ago. As parishioners of CTK, it is our joy to provide the financial needs of the parish. We recognize that a parish does not exist without all of us. God has provided for all of us with a plan to support the church. In Malachi, he says, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it." God wants us to put our faith in Him. Christine and I have put our faith in Him. We've been blessed, brought up by parents that also tithe and also gave back to the church. And so this is natural to us. I could say that because our tithing of time, talent, and treasure, God has blessed us with many things. God has blessed us with a great marriage. I am so blessed to have a beautiful bride, my beautiful bride, Christine, who is Catholic and loves the Lord greatly. A beautiful family of 8 kids and a granddaughter and a wonderful extended family. These are all just beautiful blessings that God has poured out. Why would I not be thankful? Why would I not be grateful to Him? Great vacations with families. A profitable family business with common productive relationships. And if you've ever worked with family, you might know what I mean with that. A big home and a great yard for a large family gatherings that we can share. In fact, we had our third wedding in the last 14 months in our backyard about a month ago with over 100 people. Just beautiful. In gratitude, we have been giving 5% to this parish for over 20 years. Right off the top, and how we do it is with the ACH, the bank draft type style, because that way it's a first fruit for us. We don't even look at it. We never think of pulling back. And we enjoy giving the other 5% to those in need and other great ministries. Now you could say all these things could be coincidences. All those blessings could be coincidences. Or results of diligent work ethic. Or maybe even luck. But what it really shows me is that it's God. Is that God grants me the peace I know and enjoy through all things. So that peace that God gives me, that's my evidence that sharing the time, talent, and treasure, being a person of stewardship, it comes in that peace. The peace in the trials through blending families. We're a blended family. And so those trials, God has granted us peace through that. Through family crises, through financial shortfalls, through supporting my son in prison. I'll share that with you someday. Or men, come to men's ministry. Little plug here. Come to men's ministry. I'll share more on that. Opposing views with my brother and partner. And a crazy schedule of 10-hour work days and chores and sporting events. And add to that, spending time and talent in ministries. God grants me peace through all these. He has me busy here at the church. It's His calling, and I've accepted it. Men's minister, lead, help out with the AV. Projects around the church, I help lead projects there. Christine, PTO, always volunteering at church.
You'll see her at the fish fry dishing out the desserts. And so we choose this because we are grateful to God and we want to be true disciples and give back to him. But only God can grant that kind of peace. And I know, and we know, it's because we're in his will in our stewardship. In closing, St. Paul, in his first book to Timothy, tells us, instruct those who are rich in this world's goods, that they should not be proud and should set their hopes not on money, which is untrustworthy, but on God who gives us richly all that we need for our happiness. They are good to be rich in good works, generous in giving, and always ready to share. This is the way they can amass a good capital sum for the future if they want to possess only life that is real. Thank you for listening.